This is number 6 of Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, and it's the last week we look at his book because we looked at the foundational principle. It's not about me, but it's about God's use of me or my relationship with God or the movement of God through my life for the betterment of the kingdom of God. So it's not about me, it's about God in me. And this is the one where the rubber just kind of hits the road right here. And some folks just don't do well with this. I mean, we just need to lay that out there, I think. Now, some folks just don't do well with this. But it's just the way it is. Because I think when you see, how do you argue with it? So we'll just put it out there and see how it goes. We're going to take a look at some of the stuff that Rick Warren says. And then we're going to take a look at how servants think, act, and then we'll go look at the scripture reading and see how thinking and acting played out in the scriptures. Okay? Here we go. Two basic realities. Number one, you're called. We're called. Jesus says, listen, guys, I didn't come here to be served. I came here to be a servant. And if Jesus is my Lord and Savior, if I'm a follower of Christ, then guess what? I kind of follow his pattern. I kind of follow in his footsteps. What he did, I do. What he teaches, I believe. And if he says, I came here not to serve, not to be served, but to serve, then I'm thinking, you know what that means for Kip Younger? He didn't come here to be served. He came here to what? Serve. He came here to serve. So again, if he's my Lord and Savior and I've embraced him as such, then I have been called. I've been called. As certainly as the three guys were called by the Master, I've been called when I embrace Christ as my Lord and Savior. And so have you. In our creation, we have been shaped for service. Ephesians 2:10, Paul writes, for we are what he has made us. We are what he's created us to be. We are how he put us together with all the gifts, the skills, the talents, and all the personality and all the character stuff. We are what he has made us, created in Christ for good works. If we're going to use Warren's language, we would say for good purpose. Purpose-driven life, 5 purposes for good purpose. Which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Ooh, yow. So that really say. It says, Kip Younger was shaped, created, formed, whatever you want to call it, with certain gifts, talents, and skills to be used for good works for his way of life. For his career? No. For a few years in his life? No. For his way of living life. So we've been called, and we've been given gifts and skills to serve. It's just as simple as that. It's just that simplistic. He's your Lord and Savior. You've been called. In your creation, Holy Spirit gave you gifts and skills for serving the kingdom of God on an individual basis or through the church you're part of. Now, some folks have a real problem with that. They just think that coming to church is good enough. Putting a few bucks in the golden bowls is enough. But that's not necessarily serving. Not necessarily serving. Because you know they have gifts and skills. And if Christ is their Savior, they've been called, they've been created and shaped and formed, gifts and skills to serve. So here's how servants think. Here's how servants think. They believe, and they think more about others than themselves. Well, that's pretty easy because the very first line of the very first chapter said what? It's not about me. So if I really believe it's not about me, but God's purpose in my life, that's what it's really about, then don't you see that my thinking as a servant should be more about others than myself? That just kind of makes sense. They think that they're stewards and not owners. And so everything that I have belongs to who? God. And he has just by grace allowed me to have it. My good health is a gift of God, and I'm a steward of that health. My cars, money, wife, kids, anything. I'm a steward over that. It's been given to me. I didn't just go out and get it. It's been given to me. What about the money I use to go buy things? Doesn't that mean those things are mine now? Where'd the money come from? Money came from using the gifts and the skills God gave us to do jobs and to work. And so that means if you flush it all the way out, you know what? They're still from God. And I'm still a steward over it. Yeah, I worked my tail off and I bought it. But you know what? He gave me the gifts and skills to do the job, made the money, bought the thing, and still belongs to him. Still belongs to him. They focus on their work and not the work of others. And so they're not going to, you know, haggle over who's doing what and what they have to do and how come they have to do more than so-and-so has to do and how come so-and-so has it so easy and yada, yada, yada kind of stuff. Remember a little story at the end of the Gospel of John? Jesus comes back, walking on the beach with the boys, walking down the beach with Peter. Remember the story? Say yes. Yeah, sure you do. Sure you do. And Jesus says to Peter, "You love me?" He says, "Yes." "Do you love me?" He says, "Yes." "Do you love me?" He says, "Yes." Three times. Yes, yes, yes. And then Peter says, "Wait a minute. What about him?" Pointing to John. Now, you do remember the story, right? Seriously, yes. Pointing to John. He says, "What about him?" And Jesus said, "Buddy, you're worried about him? You got enough problems of your own. You're going to die like I died, and you're worried about him? You got enough problems of your own, buddy. Don't worry about John. You better worry about Peter." They do take care of their own work, and they don't worry about other folks. They don't compare. They don't compare. They base their identity on Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? That's who I am as a servant. They base their identity on who Christ is. Ministry is an opportunity, not an obligation. Some folks have a problem with that one. So go, yeah. Can you be an usher? Nope. Be a greeter? Nope. Work in a sound booth? Nope. Sing in the choir? Nope. Rake the grass? Nope. Clean the window? Nope. Nope, 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 nope. What's the problem? I have no obligation to do that type of work. You seriously? Listen. Servants who've been called and realize they have gifts to serve the kingdom of God through their own lives or through the church recognize the fact that being an usher is an opportunity. It's an opportunity. Being a greeter is an opportunity. Being one of the communion people is an opportunity. Singing in the choir, if you got the gifts and the skills to do it, there's an opportunity. So you see, when the phone rings, they say, "Well, can you be an usher this week?" They don't go, "Oh, no, you serious again? Oh, I had to usher 6 months ago. It was the wrong service and yada, yada, yada. It's so inconvenient. And I like to go out to breakfast, but I had to usher that day. Da, 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 da." You serious? Instead, you know what they say? "Are you serious? Can I be an usher?" "Woo-hoo, yeah, I'll be an usher. You better believe it. I'll be the best usher you've ever seen." Because it's an opportunity to be a servant of God in my church for the community and for the kingdom of God. "Yes, sir, I'll be an usher. You better believe it. I'll be the best one you've ever seen. When can I usher? Today? Can I do it today? Can I do all three services?" Yes. Now you're like, "You don't believe me." They make themselves available to serve. Now listen, that doesn't mean they don't have a life and they're just waiting for someone to call. It means they have a life, and within the context of that life, they make opportunities to serve. They're available. They pay attention to the needs of the church and the needs of other folks around them. So they're sitting in the worship service, and they see the head usher looking for someone to help do something. And they're paying attention. They're not sleeping, not making out the grocery list, not asking their wife where they want to go to lunch. They're paying attention. And they say, "Oh, must need something. Over here. I can help." They pay attention. They pay attention. They do their best with what they have. So they're not worried about how little they got, and they're not worried about how much they got. They do the best they can with what they've been given because they believe they were called and they were equipped or shaped, if you use Warren's words, shaped. And so whatever it is, gifts, talents, and skills God has given them, they believe, they really do believe, they got it. And so they use whatever God has given them to do the best that they can do, whatever God calls them to do. They do every task with equal dedication. So there's no really big glory-seeking task and some little minuscule nothing task. And so they do the big one with all the gusto they can, and do the little one kind of halfway. They don't do that. They do all the tasks the same because they're equally dedicated. And the reason they're equally dedicated to each one is because each one's an opportunity. And they know it's not about them. It's about serving. They have gifts and graces to serve, so they serve. They use it. They use it. Whether the task is big, the task is tiny, doesn't matter to them. They're faithful to the ministries, heart and soul. Faithful to what they do in service to God. And they maintain a low profile. So you won't hear them saying a lot of I words. I was at the church till 10:30 last night. Yeah. I got there at 6 in the morning, stayed till 10:30 last night. I did this. And I'd have to say, well, what's wrong with you? Why would you be there from 6:30 in the morning to 10:30 at night? You must be nuts. Go away. Go home. Go see your family or something. They keep a low profile. You won't see everything they do because they just kind of work behind the scenes. And you say, wow, I wonder who did that. And you may never know because they didn't leave their name or anything. They just did it. So they know they're called. They know they're shaped by gifts and talents and skills. They think a certain way and they act a certain way. And that takes us to the three servants in the story. The basic context of the story. It's very long, but here it is sort of in a nutshell. Slaves, one of them gets 5 talents, one gets 2 talents, one gets 1 talent. Each given according to his ability. So what does that mean? That means that the master looked upon the servants and knew them so well as if the hairs on their head were numbered. That sound familiar? Yeah. So who's the master? Okay. And to one of them, he said, hey, he's looking at him. I'm going to give this one 5 talents because he can handle 5 talents. You have 5 talents, buddy. And this one over here says, I'm giving you 2. And this one over here says, you know what? I'm giving this one 1 talent. 1 talent. And I'm going to give them out according to what I know they can do. Because I know them. I formed them. I shaped them. I called them. I created them. I know the number of hairs on their head. I know all that stuff. I know he can do 5. He can do 2. And she can do 1. Or he can do 1. I don't want to be sexist and make the woman on the short end of the stick. So she can have 5. She can have 2. And he can have 1. How's that? That's better. That's much better. Be politically correct. So the giving of the talents, then, is determined by the master. The one who called, the one who shapes us, is the one who gives us talent. How'd the story work out? One with 5 made 5, the one with 2 made 2, the one with 1 made zippo. Didn't do anything. That was determined by them. What they did was determined solely by them. There is a transition of responsibility that takes place in the story, and it takes place in life. The master looks at Kip Younger and says, I'm going to give him this and this and this. Poof. Now it's up to Kip Younger to examine and see what the gifts and skills and graces are and do something with them. Do something with them. So you see, there is this transition of authority and responsibility. God's responsibility, call, shape, equip, set you loose. My responsibility, your responsibility, take what's been given to me and go serve the kingdom of God with the gifts and skills I've been given. And it's not about me. Not about me. It's about me serving God with my life through the gifts and the skills that he's given to me. So here's some things that are common to all 3 servants. Each servant's called. He called each one of the 3. Picked up the phone, called the 5, the 2, and the 1 person. Called them. They're all called by the master. Listen, the guy with the 1 coin didn't just happen to walk in on some conversation he was having with the 5 and the 2 guy. He was called. He got the email, what time, what place, when, and he showed up. He was called. He was called to come and honor his master. The master has expectations of all 3 of these guys. To the one he gave the 5, he's got expectations that match that 5. To the one he gave the 2, he has expectations to meet the 2. And to the one he gave the 1, he has expectations of the one who got the 1 talent to do something with it. Because he gave it to them, knowing them. There's no unreasonable burden being placed on any of these guys. The one he gave the five to, he didn't say to him, I'm giving you five talents, and if you know what's good for you, you'll bring back 50,000 more, buddy. Huh? And to the one that had the two, he said, if you know what's good, you'll bring back 20 grand. And the one, you better bring back 1,000. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. There's no unreasonable burden being placed on anyone who receives a talent. There isn't any. Why? Because they were called, they were shaped and given the talent they need to do what they've been called to do. So you don't have to put any heavy burden on them or unreasonable burden on them. They're already equipped. They're ready to go. Specific results for the two. 100% return on their money. Gave me five, I made five, had a total of 10, pretty good. Gave me two, made two, total of 4, pretty good. They spoke with confidence, conviction, joy. Master said, hey, come here, come on, how'd you do? And the guy at the five said, look, see, I made 5 more talents. Woohoo, it's great. And the guy with the two came back and he said, look, I've made 2. I made 2 more talents. This is great. So they're filled with assurance, they're filled with conviction because they know that they were called, they were shaped, they were trusted. They were trusted with gifts and skills and talents, and they're so excited to be able to do something for the master. They're so excited that he trusted them with this stuff, that he would trust even me and you. They're so excited. He says, Y'all, come on, join me. Join me in my joy. Gospel of John chapter 14, at the very beginning, let not your hearts be troubled. Remember that? I go and make a place for you. And if I go and make a place for you, I'll come and get you, all that stuff. Because then he says, because where I am, there too you shall be. Enter into my joy. Come be with me. Good and trustworthy servant, called, shaped, utilizing your gifts and your talents, come and be with me. That's pretty good. It doesn't stay that way very long, though. Third guy. He realizes that the talent he has had was not from within himself. So what does that really mean? It means he wasn't at home one night, kind of watching TV, you know. Little woman's in the kitchen, kids are playing on the floor, he's got the TV going, got the little remote thing going on, watching TV, and happened to adjust himself in a chair and stick his hand in the crack of the cushion and find a talent. That didn't happen. Because if that had happened to him, whose talent would that be? His. In his chair, he finds it. He can say to himself, dang, you know what? I do. It's the only talent I got. About 1/4 of what I need. A talent. It's mine. And I can do anything I want to with it. It's fine. I found it in the sofa. I can put it back. I can put it back in the sofa as long as I get it out before Dixie comes back. I can put it back in the sofa. I can do anything I want with that talent. But don't you see? He realized that wasn't his talent. That talent was given to him from the master. And when it was given to him from the master, he realized there's an assumed responsibility with that talent. I've got to do something with it. I can't hide it in the couch. It's not mine to do that with. This is a talent that someone has given to me. They have expectations. I'm going to use the talent. Something must happen. And so he goes, digs a hole, sticks in the ground. Does the absolutely worst thing he could possibly do. The master said, hey, I got some talents I want to give you, very specific talents. And they're going to be this one, and this one. Got it? Got it. Now go use them. And the person takes the talent. And when the master's gone, out of sight, out of mind, you know? Just says, hey, you serious? I don't think so. I'm not doing that. Just like burying them in the ground. To take a talent, a skill, a gift, and just to let it go is like throwing it in the ground. He comes back and he says, oh my gosh, you wicked, lazy servant. Now, nobody likes those two words. We don't use wicked because that's just, oh. He says, you're wicked, pretty strong, and you're lazy. And he says, I want you thrown into the outer darkness where there's much weeping and gnashing of teeth. Where do you think the outer darkness could possibly be? Think about those two words, outer. It's out. Out of what? Out of what? Into the darkness. Jesus said, I came to be life and life abundant. In the prologue, it says he was life and the light. Life was like light to men. The presence of God is light. Out in the darkness is a separation from God. Separation from God. Where there's much, much, much weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not a good place to go. When you look at the whole story, and you say, okay, we got it. He had five, he made five. He's got two, he made two. He's got one. And there's results. To those two guys, he says, well, good job. To the one with the one, he said, what a loser. We're serious, what a loser. Come on, get out of here. What's the basis of the decision the master makes over who's good and who's not so good? What's the basis of the results, be they good or be they bad? What's the basis? What's this based on? Well, the one thing it's not based on is profit and loss. What? I said the one thing it's not based on is profit and loss. You see, what if the guy with the five, he took the five and he comes back and he says, Master, look, I made three talents with the five you gave me. That's eight. And he'd have said what? Good job. Good job. And the guy with the two comes back and says, Master, you don't believe this, man. I made an extra talent with the two you gave me. Because, you know, the economy stinks and gas is almost $4 a gallon again. And I'm still upside down in the house and prescription drugs are going crazy and yada, 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 yada. But I made one. And the master would have said, ah, man, good job. Why? Because it's not about profit and loss. It's about being obedient and trustworthy and using the gifts and the talents to the best of your ability. That's all it's about. So the major breakdown for the third guy was what? Did you hear the words? He said, I thought you were cruel and heartless and ugly. You do things that are terrible. I was just frightened to death of you. But when those words kind of echo a little bit when you hear the response of the master to the other two, the five and the two guy, because when he's with them, he's like, hey, you guys did great. Good job, man. I'm going to bless you. You're going to be living in abundance, yada, yada, yada. You're good. You're trustworthy. Come, enter into my joy. Come on, you guys. Come on. Join me. Come on. We're going to have a great time together. Now, does that sound like someone who's harsh and cruel and hard-hearted? No. But it was the perception of the third servant that that's who the master was. And so he responds out of fear to that. Listen, totally unnecessary. He's been called. He's been shaped. He's been given the talent he has the ability to deal with. So go deal with it then. Go do something with it. But don't be afraid. Because afraid just digs a hole and throws it in the ground, covers it up. Hope we don't have to talk about this ever. Ever. So what's that do for the church? What should the church be on guard for? Well, fear. The same thing. Well, we need help with this or that. Oh, I couldn't do that. I'm afraid I'd mess that all up. Yeah. No. Is Christ your Lord? Yes. You've been called by God. Oh, my gosh. You've got gifts and skills. And we could use some of those gifts and skills. Huh, imagine that. So fear can't be a predominant force in our lives. 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says, listen, God didn't give you a spirit of timidity or fear. He didn't give you the blessings of fear in your life. He gave you the blessings of power, love, and self-control. So get on with the program. Take that one talent and go do something with it, because you need not be afraid. That does not belong to you. It's not a gift of God. It's a gift from somebody else used to intimidate you and stop you and make you hide things in the ground. But it's not of God. It's not of God. He's given you gifts. Well, what if I feel weak? Perfect. Perfect. Paul had that little thing going on with the side. He said, hey, listen, I don't feel too good about this. And God said, hey, don't worry about it. My grace is sufficient. I'll take care of you. You go do. I got this covered. When you're weak, I'm strong. So you go on. Go on. Don't be afraid. Don't feel weak. Just go do what you need to do. And he did. And we're reading this stuff today. The last reading of his book. Last one. Very simple. I've been called by God. You've been called by God. I've been shaped to serve with gifts and skills. You've been shaped to serve gifts and skills. The worst thing that I can do is be afraid to use them. The most harmful thing you can do is be afraid to use them. Or just blow it off that it's not important. Can you imagine what the church would be like if every single person within the church recognized gifts and skills, calling and shaping, and in a sense of unison by the presence of the Spirit of God, no big heroes, no big show-offs, nobody that's all about me kind of people. It's just like, you know, it's not about me, but I have this and I want to use it in the kingdom of God through my church, whatever. What the church could possibly be like. Can you imagine what the church would be like if everyone used their gifts and skills? You couldn't stop her. She'd just be going crazy with outreach and connections and invitations. It'd just go crazy. You couldn't stop her. It'd be the craziest thing you'd ever seen. And it'd be right here in your church. And we wouldn't be worried about what the budget is or what the budget's not. We wouldn't be worried about what the mortgage payment is. And we wouldn't worry about any of that stuff, because we're all dedicated and commitment to what? Serving the kingdom of God in the name of Christ. Because it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about serving God. And we just let all the other stuff go to God and those who have the gifts and skills to deal with it. And we move on. Pray with me. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for every gift, every skill that you've given to us. And our prayer is that your Spirit embraces us, allows us to be team players, allows us to come ready to humbly serve you in unison with your Spirit and others of the body of Christ. Let it be so for us. We ask it all in the precious name of Christ our Lord. Amen.